Good evening. This is Michael Corman. This is Piano Time Live with Spiral Dynamics today, because that's the special topic for this evening. I hope everybody can hear me. I want to talk to you about this book, okay? This is this book, Spiral Dynamics. You can't see it because it's backwards for you. It's called Spiral Dynamics, Mastering Values, Leadership, and Change. What does that mean? Now available in paperback, this best-selling, I don't know, there's a barcode in the way, new framework for understanding the who knows what, and the barcode is still in the way, in human affairs, not only in business, but also in personal lives, education, and even geopolitics. Focusing on cutting-edge leadership, management systems, processes, procedures, and techniques. Spiral Dynamics synthesizes changes such as increasing cultural diversity, powerful new social responsibility initiatives, and the arrival of a truly global marketplace. This book was written in the 90s. It has all the trappings of a 90s book. What is this? I have notes that I wrote in here. What? I have no idea. I want to talk about it because this is a subject that's dear to my heart. When I learned about this was 4 years ago, I first learned about Spiral Dynamics. I first heard about it. I think I first heard about it from my sister. She should be here. Why isn't she here? I don't know. I never told her I was doing this. We'll have to get her in next time. But for right now, then I listened to it on the Personality Hacker podcast. They were talking about it. They said that if there's one framework, even more than Myers-Briggs, which the whole podcast is about Myers-Briggs, at least it was last time I checked. I haven't heard it. It's been a while. They said they would take Spiral Dynamics onto a desert island. Then I heard about it from Leo Gura's podcast, actualize.org. Again, this is 2019 we're talking about. I don't know if Leo is still into Spiral Dynamics. No idea. Don't know what he's up to these days. But this framework is bouncing around in my head. It has always been bouncing around in my head since for the past 4 years. I see everything in these terms. I try to see everything in these terms. Doesn't always work. Doesn't always make sense to me. It's complicated. But I got this book, so we're going to talk about it. There's some other things I wanted to talk about this evening. I wanted to talk about Still Dre. I wanted to talk about enlightenment. I wanted to talk about, what else? Can anybody remember? I have it in my story. So if you're watching this on Instagram, you might be watching this live. This is Instagram live. Some of you are listening on the podcast. Some of you are watching this on YouTube. But all of us are here together to talk about whatever I was going to talk about. Spiral Dynamics is one topic. Still Dre is another. Enlightenment is another. The Ice Cream Truck song. And anything else? Let's start with the Ice Cream Truck song. Now, if you don't know what this song is, it goes like this. That's the Ice Cream Truck song. Anxiety. That was the other topic. Right. Okay. We got a lot of ground to cover tonight. So, the Ice Cream Truck song. Now, it goes like that. It goes da 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 ba 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 da dee da 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 da. I love ice cream. Now, this is apparently, I didn't know this when I was a kid. This was not part of my reality. That this is something that the ice cream trucks play. Okay, I guess everybody on the internet knows this except me, but now I know it. I want to show you how. If you scroll back a ways, probably January, I have a video about how to play this. But for those of you who are right here, I'm going to give you a special treat, which is I'm going to show you what to do with your left hand, because what I showed in the video is just da 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 da, like this. And actually, I played with a vibraphone, so it's like this. Now, here's what you can do with your left hand. Now, you can't really see, but... And you're going to have to mirror. If you're watching this on the video, if you're listening on the podcast, then God help you. But if you mirror it, okay, you see this note right here. It's this white key. Okay, now it's going to look very different. You understand that it's because it's mirrored. So what I'm playing here, it's like it's going to look more like this one on your piano. Okay, so this is like it's going to look like this, but it's going to sound like this. So then you're going to go up. Now you see on the video, it looks like I'm going down. No, I'm going up. And then you go down and then down and then back up again and then all the way back down. Okay, let's do that again. So start here, then go up and then down and then down and then up and then up and then down. Again, done. Up, down, down. Back to the beginning, back to the top again, and then all the way back down, okay? Now, so when you put that together with what I played with my right hand, it's gonna sound like this. Let me do that again. Is that it? Okay. That's the ice cream truck song. Okay, that's all I wanted to cover right now. I wanted there to be a place. I wanted to give you a little something for being here. Just a little reward. Now, those of you who aren't here, those of you who aren't here, aren't ever going to be here, aren't going to listen to this, who aren't going to see this, are missing out. You know, so it's just a little thing that we have between us. Let's talk about spiral dynamics. So spiral dynamics is colors, okay? And what they call V memes. It's the whole thing. You got to read all of this, okay? It's not simple. A V meme transposes itself into a worldview, a value system, a level of psychological existence, a belief structure, organizing principle, a way of thinking, and a mode of living. So it's a whole thing. Each one of these, and there's seven of them, eight of them, and each one of them is a whole. It's a whole worldview. It's a whole universe. So the first one is beige, and then we go up to purple, and then red, and then blue, and then orange, and then green, and then yellow, and then turquoise. Now it's a lot of theory. Now when I explain all this theory, it's like you gotta say, well, why do we have theory? You know, what's the point of theory? Well, theory is something that you use to help you understand the world. So you don't just do it just for fun. You don't just do it because it's fun to do theory. I mean, it can be fun, you know, but then you're just a philosopher if you just think it's fun. Okay, fine, just as long as you don't turn into a playground bully. But for the rest of us, theory is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. So when you go through each one of these memes, you have you find that these colors are actually tell you about motives that people have when they are centered in that color. So I'm going to read to you here. This is a quick preview. So if you look at the beige, now you can call, you know, you, they call them V memes. Okay. I think V, I guess it stands for value. I'm not really sure. But we're going to... They basically are... you can think of them as stages. You can think of them as levels. You can think of them as... Because they are levels. Now, that does not mean that the higher levels are better than the lower ones. Okay? Because when you want to talk about what's best, it's like... The way that you organize your existence, it has to be suited for your existence. So if you have one way of thinking about things and it works for you, it helps you get what you want, then there's no problem. We don't have to come up with anything else. But if you find that it's not working for you, then you got to find a different way of thinking. So it's true that each of these levels originated from the previous one. You know, each, like the green level was which comes after Orange, it was a response to Orange. It came into existence because Orange wasn't sufficient. But that doesn't mean green is better than Orange. It just means that in certain circumstances, Orange isn't going to work, and so you need to go up to green. It's like the gears in your car. Like, it doesn't mean that, you know, you shift from like first gear to second gear to third gear. It doesn't mean that third gear is better than first gear. It's just sometimes you need to be in third gear. You know, every time you drive, you need first gear, but you only need third gear when you're going fast enough. So I'm going to, the summaries of these things. So you start at beige, okay, which is staying alive through innate sensory equipment. Okay, beige is the most basic level. It just means that you're just trying to stay alive. That's what you care about. You care about the things that are going to help you stay alive with your basic, just the basic reality, the basic physical reality. So things just like, you know, food and shelter, stuff like that. Then at some point, we go up to purple. And purple is blood relationships and mysticism in a magical and scary world. So the world, so when you're dealing with, you know, other animals don't deal with this, okay? Human beings, because we have our physical reality it's threatening, okay? And this is something every animal experiences, right? There's dangers out there. And so you kind of have to live your life, you know, in such a way that you stay alive, and you have to avoid danger, and you have to pursue, you know, safety, and you pursue the things that are going to help you stay alive. Human beings, because we're so smart, we create all this. We put all this meaning into it, okay, as to why is it that the physical world is so dangerous? And we invent these things. We invent evil spirits, and we invent you know, this rhyme and reason behind the forces of nature. Okay, and when you stop fixating on food and shelter and you start fixating on the evil spirits, then that's when you go into purple. The next level after that is red. Okay, red is where you enforce power over self, others, and nature through exploitive independence. So in purple, because it's all about trying to protect yourself from the scary natural world, and when you do that by forming groups, and we do that by, we create traditions, we create religions that are based on, it's like animism, and you're seeing the natural world as having intelligence, as having agency. And so we as humans, we invent rituals that enable us to commune with the spirits, okay? And it's intimately connected to how it is that we have relationships with other people, okay? Because we form a tribe, we form a group, and we do the rain dance together, and you know, these are the traditions and the things that we use to identify ourselves as being part of the group, because we're banding together to protect ourselves from nature. So when you look at us as being, we are the people here, okay? This is us, and then there's them, which is nature. That's where you get purple from. But at some point you say, well, now, that's all well and good until maybe I find that I don't want to follow your traditions anymore because you're kind of, as an individual, you're holding me back. And so maybe that's when I go up into red. And I say, now what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to seize some power. So you see, the thing with the colors is that they alternate between the individual and the communal. So purple is a communal color, red is an individual. Okay, so then once we get past red, you go back to the communal side, you go into blue. This is very theoretical, everything. I'm just dumping a bunch of information on you. So what you got to do is you got to go into Google and search spiral dynamics. There's a website, Spiral Dynamics Integral. It's from the Netherlands, and it has a summary of each of these things, each of the colors, and it tells you everything about it. It tells you where it came from. It tells you when in history it originated. It tells you, it gives you examples of it. It gives you examples of sayings that are, because you can look at every aspect of human culture, and you can find the red elements of it. You can find the purple elements of it. You can find the blue elements of it. You can decompose anything into these threads of many colors. So blue is absolute belief in one right way and obedience to authority. So see, red was the beginning of individualism. It's not even really individualism. It's some kind of proto-individualism where you're fixated on power. And it's not about me as an individual, it's just about power. It's like, I want power. So if you look at something like a street gang, you look at the movie Gladiator. It's a lot of red there. Blue is suddenly, it's like, because this power is getting out of control, it's like, now we need to say, okay, that leads to too much chaos. It leads to, we can't have people just running around chopping off heads just because every time they want something. So we have to create law and order. And that's how you get into blue. And this is where you get the religions, real religions, that are saying that if you follow the rules, then you're going to go to heaven. And if you break the rules, you're going to hell. That's all about blue. We're still at this point because it turns into belief. See, in purple, it's not about belief. It's about you do the rituals so that you can be saved from the literal forces of nature. Okay, but blue is like saved has a different meaning now because it's really future based. Okay, saved is what happens after you die. See, it's totally different. Not totally different. See, one is based on the other. Obedience to authority. That's where that comes from. We didn't have obedience to authority before. And then once you're sick and tired of blue, then you go back to the individual side and you go into orange. And orange is possibility thinking focused on making things better for self. So this is real individualism. I'm going to read that again. Possibility thinking focused on making things better for self. So in blue, it's like it's all about absolute belief in one right way, obedience to authority. But the problem with that is that now we have to follow authority, you know? And it's like you have to know your place in life and you have to be stuck where you are because that's what the authority tells you that you have to do. So that's all well and good until you realize that, you know what, maybe I want something better. Maybe I actually want, you know, I want a piece of the pie for myself. So now it's like I want to rise up and kind of just do my own thing, you know, get off my back because, you know, I've got money to make. That's where orange comes from. Okay. But then orange, you see, is like, you know, because this is a spiral and because it just goes back and forth and back and forth, it's individual and communal, collective, we find that the collective is going to have a problem with too much individualism. And so that's where green comes from, where the description there is well-being of people and building consensus get highest priority. Well-being of people and building consensus get highest priority. Okay, so this is where you start saying things like, well, you know, you can try to get, you know, you can make money for yourself and all, but, you know, what about the poor and downtrodden? They deserve, you know, we got to share the wealth. So that's green. Just to sum up, we went from beige, purple, red, blue, orange, green. Okay, that's what they call tier one. Those are the basic memes. Those are the basic levels. Those are the basic building blocks. And none of them is better than another. Okay, it's just some of them. The beige was there from the beginning. Okay, and then as humans evolved and progressed, and our culture progressed, we invented purple, then we invented red, and then blue, and then orange, and then green. So the higher ones are more recent. But then you go to tier two, because at some point it's like, okay, tier one, fine. Now, this is the next stage in human evolution. So this is where it gets exciting. You go to tier two. Because, you know, come on. We got to aim for something bigger. You know, I thought with the pandemic, I thought that we were going to, and I think it did help. I do. You know, the pandemic got a lot of people. It got a lot of people. You could see it. You could see the progression. You know, you could see the people that were really centered in orange started to get a little restless, and they started to move up into green. And people who were stuck in blue started to move up into orange. And people who were stuck in green started to move up to yellow, which is tier two. So tier two is when you realize that tier one, all of tier one, that basically you realize that nothing in tier one is the answer. Okay, that you actually do have to shift smoothly in between all of the levels of tier one. And that's where you get yellow. Yellow is the first stage of tier two, and it's flexible adaptation to change. through connected, big-picture views. Flexible adaptation to change through connected, big-picture views. This is where you see the whole picture. You see that this is a system. You know, I was watching this documentary last night about, it was a plane crash in over Yugoslavia in the 70s, 1977, I think. 76, something like that. And it was, there was a mid-air collision. And it was two planes crashed. And it was because of a problem. The air traffic controller was spaced out somehow. There was some confusion going on in the control room there. So he wasn't really aware of one of the planes. He didn't know that it was his responsibility until the last second, until like 15 seconds before the crash. Then he finally realized it. And by that point, it was too late. The planes crash, and then he was put on trial along with several other controllers. And it's like, so the whole point of the story here was that it's like, is it his fault? Like so there's a temptation in some kind of culture that you're going to say, we're going to figure out who's to blame, and we're going to put that person on trial and make sure that we know who the scapegoat is. You know, and under communism, that's how it's done. You know, it's just like you're the one who's to blame. You know, because that's the whole point. So you want to figure out who's responsible. That's like, but you know, there's a limitation to this, okay? Because then you got, I don't want to give away the whole thing because I'm going to misquote it anyway. Like I'm not good at relaying stories anyway. So I'm just gonna, it's better to just like sit here and just, you know, I don't want to just stammer awkwardly about it, because what's the point of that? Like, I know that's no fun to listen to. It might be more fun to watch that kind of thing, you know, but if you're listening on the podcast, then that's not what you want. I know that's not. It's not his fault. Because look, what causes that crash? It's like you say one person. Why? Because it's his job, you know. But why isn't he able to do it? He can't do it because why? Because he's overworked. Because he's depending on other people to do their jobs too. You know, they got the boss up on the stand and he was saying, yeah, it's like this is, you know, we're not well equipped for this. You know, the radar isn't working. We don't have enough staff. But you see, in the courtroom, there's two cultures that are clashing there. You know, there's one that wants to say the whole purpose of this trial is to find a scapegoat, and the other side is saying, well, the purpose of the trial is to figure out how to rectify the situation. Meaning, how do we make it so that these crashes don't happen? You know, and if you're really fixated, you're really focused on getting and solving the problem, then you may have to contend with the fact that there's no one to blame. That blaming is a means to an end, and it may not be the right means. Because it may not achieve the end of actually fixing the problem, of fixing the system, which is where the real problem is. So they got a guy, I was a little hazy on this, and I'm all about accuracy. You know, I don't like to say things unless they're true. You might not know that, because if you look at my videos, you might think Michael just says whatever's on his mind. But you got to understand, this is an exercise for me, okay? I've gone through all of my life until I started posting on Instagram, all of my life just being very accurate and very, you know, don't want to say anything that isn't 100% true. So when I just say whatever here, it's like that's an exercise for me. You know, I'm practicing something, practicing a different way of doing things. So, you know, I'm not an idiot. Like, you think I'm an idiot, I know. You think I'm just some crazy guy. I'm not a crazy guy. Like, I am maybe a little crazy, but I'm no more crazy than you. It's just that I'm just, you know, made a conscious decision to post this stuff. So, whereas you haven't, but you'll get there one day. I'm confident. But what I was saying, this English guy who was, I don't know, a prosecutor. He was hired by the prosecutor, but his girlfriend was in one of the planes. Okay, and so he was going there to help prosecute. But he's like, this is complete nonsense. We can't have, like, this isn't fair. You know, it's not fair to the controllers who are being thrown under the bus because of some, just a system that they were put into. So he stood up and he made a speech where he defended them. So that's the other side of that, you know? And there's a culture clash. The memes are, they're activated at different levels. Oh, let me just finish my thought there. The reason I said any of that was because of yellow. That's yellow, okay? It's like you're saying yellow is this, it's not about like, it's not about fair. It's not about, it's not about power. It's not about authority, anything like that. It's about, well, it's got to fix the system. We have a comment. What's that term for when someone asks a question about how to do something, but really they need a whole new approach to the problem? I don't know. I don't know what that term is. When someone, I don't know. Maybe somebody else can chime in. But yeah, that's what we're talking about. It's like, you got to kind of think outside the box here. You know, you got to think about what's the bigger picture. So that's yellow. Okay. And then, because yellow, we'll see that sometimes we need green thinking, you know, sometimes we need blue thinking. Sometimes we need, you know, sometimes we need orange thinking. And then the final level in spiral dynamics is turquoise. Turquoise is attention to whole earth dynamics and macro level actions. Turquoise is the highest one. Now, if you look at some diagrams, if you go on Google Images and you type spiral dynamics, you'll see there will be some other picture, other colors. I'll have like coral is one of them. It's like some kind of pink. I think there might be another one I saw. I don't know how standard those are. Like I don't know. In the normal presentation of spiral dynamics, turquoise is the highest one. So you got yellow, turquoise. That's tier two. Okay. So turquoise. Now if you look at if you watch Wild Wild Country on Netflix, a documentary about Osho and about the cult that he founded and they set up in Oregon, which is one of the states in the United States. Oregon is they had a compound there, and that the mentality, if you look at Osho's mentality, you'll see that this is turquoise. Okay. It's kind of hard to explain because most of you are not really there yet. So I could talk about turquoise, but you're not going to really understand me. Although I can read stuff from the book. This book is fascinating because it talks about global awakening. It talks about the need for spiral wizards. Spiral wizards are people spiral wizards understand that the butterfly effect applies to human affairs in the age of CNN and satellite phones. Seemingly isolated. I have to remind you, this book is from the 90s, so it's a little dated. It's not dated in any fundamental sense, but it is dated in some of the examples that they give. Try to see people as they... It gives a whole section on how to be a spiral wizard. I'm going to read some of these things about tier two, yellow. Let's read about yellow. See, you know what's fascinating is how it talks about how you go from one color to the next. So you go from yellow. Like, where does yellow... I'm just going to read some of this. Accept the inevitability of nature's flows and forms. Focus on functionality, competence, flexibility, and spontaneity. You know what? Should I be reading this to you? Because it's like you're not well grounded in tier one. Okay, so it's like you're not even understanding what I'm talking about. But let me just keep reading this list, and then maybe we'll talk more about tier one, because those are the ones that are maybe a little bit more relatable, because they're the things that you're doing all the time and that you're seeing other people do all the time. Find natural mix of conflicting truths and uncertainties. Discovering personal freedom without harm to others or excesses of self-interest. experience fullness of living on an earth of such diversity in multiple dimensions, demand integrative and open systems. You know, it's a lot of my thinking is yellow. And now you have to understand, like, part of me kind of suspects that maybe there's a little bit of a conflict of interest, okay? Because the people who come up with systems like this, they want to make their way of thinking and their personalities, they want to portray them in the most positive light, okay? So I might be viability, whatever. So you go from like green into yellow, okay? So there's like phases in between each of these, okay? So you got green here, and then you got yellow here, but then in between, there's this green slash yellow. And then, and also, by the way, going, so it's like there's one, the way they spell it here in the book, they have like green slash yellow. You can't see it because it's mirrored, whatever. But it goes like, there's a capital green, like they put in capital letters, slash, and then yellow in lowercase letters. That's the phase when you're going, you're leaving green and going into yellow. But then when you're coming into yellow, there's like lowercase green, slash, capital yellow. Okay, that's the phase going into yellow. So let's back up a little bit here, because I want to talk about, just like talk about some of these other colors, like purple, okay? So they give signs, okay? So how do you know when you're in the purple phase, okay? One of them is the mind of purple is animistic, shamanistic, and mystical. Now, there's nothing wrong with this. So you say purple is like, it's really primitive, okay? Purple has been around for thousands of years. Yes, this is true. But that doesn't mean, there's nothing that purple is like, it's not outdated. It's not antiquated. It's not like we don't have a need for it anymore, okay? Because like I'm sitting here, I'm a spirit, okay? You know me as like, I'm just this guy on your phone, okay? And we have our little rituals here. You know, you've got little emojis, and there's a little button here I can wave to people. I can, you know, click these things here. And I've got a name and a little avatar, and so do you. But see, this is all purple stuff, okay? This kind of thing is a little bit simplistic. It's a little bit of an oversimplification. We're putting names and labels to things that are maybe too complex to be really labeled. But at the same time, that's how we make sense of the world. You know, it's something that humans do. I don't, you know, no other animals do this, but it's the basic building blocks of how we actually form culture at all. So I'm not going to say that it's out of date. It's not out of date, you know, but yeah, it's animistic. Sure. We have myths and legends. We divine the spirits, skills at hunting or finding water, gathering medicines. Likewise, those who have special abilities to read emotional nuances in people and fine-tune relationships are honored, since they play so major a role in maintaining the harmonious existence that is critical to group's survival. So the whole point is about group survival. Like, why is it that we have, you know, you've got these rituals, you have these, and you maybe you don't see the connection, okay? Because it's like, it doesn't say anything about Instagram in the book, okay? So this is Michael Corman's original research here. Parables. We got parables. Vivid collections of myths, legends, and parables flourishes in purple, so much so that the line between what is real and what is fantasy often becomes blurred. But that's the point, you know? The line between reality and fantasy has to be a little bit blurred, because if it's not blurred, then what is it? We're just faced with reality. You don't want to just be faced with reality, because reality is not very pleasant, you know? There's a reason we have fantasy. Because fantasy allows us to make sense out of reality. It allows us to imagine what reality could be, you know, and that's how we work with it. You say, Michael, what's the point of this? Why are you even talking about this? Like, what does this have to do with anything? What does that have to do with piano? Well, it has a lot to do with piano, because piano, you know, the world of piano is all based on myths and legends. You know, you've got Mozart, you got Beethoven, you have Rush E, Still Dre. I was going to play Still Dre. Now, I don't know how this became part of the world of piano. What does this have to do with piano? But this is one of the main, this is part of the piano canon at this point. Okay, it's right up there with the Mozart sonatas or anything like that. Still Dre. Check it out. But, you know, go on, you know, make a video about Still Dre. Do it. You'd be surprised. Because you would think it would just be hip-hop fans that would respond. And you get a lot of those. But you get a whole bunch of piano people, too. Because Still Dre is one of the sacred cows of the internet piano world. Anna saw an armadillo playing the piano today. That's amazing. I don't know what to make of that. That sounds like a purple fantasy. That sounds like a right brain tendency with a mystified sense of cause and effect. I'd be curious to know more about that. It sounds like a rich folk story, something that would be featured in a song, a drawing, a dance, or some artwork. Or maybe it could even be part of an elaborate custom passed from one generation to the next. It sounds like purple to me. It sounds like the Disney Corporation depends up on it in Imagineering theme parks, as do stuffed animal manufacturers and airport gift shops around the world. She's going to tag us in it. Thank you. Time is more circular, even spherical in purple, you know, because purple thinking is dichotomous. People are here or not here, of us or of the others. In death, one may change state to join the ancestors in the spirit realm, or perhaps just not be. See, that's the thing. In purple, it's circular, okay? Because you're not thinking about, you know, it's not until blue that you start talking about, like, really, like, heaven, okay? Because you're really thinking, it has to be linear, because in blue, it's about, the whole reason that blue exists is because you want it to, we're talking about consequences of actions, okay? Because it's all about obedience to authority, and it's about the rule of law. So that's why you end up with this, you know, the afterlife is now a consequence. It's now a reward or a punishment. That's the point. But in purple, it's like the afterlife is just part of the natural state of things, the natural flow. You know, it's just part of nature. It's like the seasons. So the whole way of thinking about it is different. This link to context and the experience instead of Greenwich Mean Time often baffles sophisticated Westerners who take offense at missed appointments or fluid work habits in primitive places where healthy social interactions take precedence over production schedules. See, because of the pandemic, I can't do schedules anymore. Okay. What, Michael, what do you mean pandemic? Isn't the pandemic been over for 2 years? What are you talking about? Yes. But my entire sense of time, my whole biological clock, on the micro level and the macro level has been completely disrupted. So I don't know. I'm just kind of floating out here in space. But I haven't gotten back on schedule. So I don't know. You may have noticed that I said I was going to start this at 9 o'clock, and I started it basically at 9 o'clock. The last couple times I said I was going to start it out sometime, and then it started maybe 3 hours later. So, but that took a lot of effort. You know, that effort is something that for most of my life, I've been able to do because, I don't know, just I had the energy for it because it was just easier. But now it's like that energy I've got to use for other things. So I can't do the schedules anymore. So I'm going into more of a purple state, you know? The collective memory carries the little memes for purple. You got fables, sagas, legends. They likely trace back to actual events. You got the Great Flood. It's common in many cultures, these floods. Relics and icons. Numerous church holidays coincide with pagan moon and sun cycles. Because the impetus simply transferred, was it when you went from purple to blue, it's just all that stuff just made its way right back up, right up there. The group is concerned with the survival and well-being of its own kind. So when you look at, so the thing I like about Leo Gura, if you don't know this guy, actualized.org. Now, I cannot vouch for him. I listened to several of his podcasts back in 2019. Okay. I listened to the whole series that he did on spiral dynamics. He has one episode for each color. And these episodes are 2 or 3 hours long. I listened to all of them. So this is, we're talking, you know, there's 8 colors. So that's 16 to 24 hours. I listened. I haven't heard too much else of what he's done. And I have no idea if he's still talking about spiral dynamics, but he went through a whole, he gave a whole episode on each one of these. Okay. So I'm just kind of like flipping through the book here, but he had all these notes and he, go listen to him. He's not an expert on this. He's just some guy. He's like me, you know? Okay. So that's purple. Okay. We got shamans, elders, chieftains, you got spirits. Calling on mother when times are tough. The nuclear family. The map is the territory. The U.S. is surprisingly purple with regards to the American flag. For those of you who are from the U.S., you know that many patriots are ready to die for the fabric as well as the fact. And the desecration of flags is far more significant than it is in most other places in the world. I was watching a video about Germany 2 days ago. I was watching about, it was about the Holocaust in World War II. And it was about why is it, like, how is it that, how do Germans view it and how are they taught about it? Germans apparently are not nearly as patriotic as Americans are. And maybe that's why. Maybe because they suck, you know, historically. I don't know. America. Gypsy signs, gang graffiti, grandparents' bumper stickers. Do your grandparents have bumper stickers? Gender, sex, and kinship. Secret handshakes. Symbolic colors and costumes, rites of passage, mating ceremonies. Nepotism. Blood is thicker than water. Blood oaths, blood brothers. In much of Africa, custom obligates the surviving brother to care for the wife and family of his deceased brother, taking the woman as one of his own wives. Wow. Crazy. Okay, so that's purple, you know? And then, so then purple, it's like, this could go on for hours. Oh, come on. This really could go on for hours because I'm going to be talking and talking and I could read this entire book to you because it's full of examples. This goes through every aspect of human civilization and culture, you know, and we're going to organize it. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should do one episode per color. Going from purple into red. At some point you get sick of purple, okay? And here's the thing. This is the stuff that causes purple to get a little old, okay? You got greater exposure to the world reveals how baseless many of the superstitions actually are, challenging the credibility of the purple leaders. Meeting the safety and security needs of people releases energy and resources, thus putting the system in a state of readiness for change. So you got to remember why it is that purple exists in the first place. Now, I didn't go over that part in the book, but I mentioned it, that the reason purple exists is because you get to a point where you need to have safety, okay? You need to have, you need to have, the natural world is causing a threat and people need to band together and they need to pool their resources and look out for each other. And that is where you get purple, because now you have to create all this stuff that creates group cohesion. But once you have safety, once you are sufficiently protected from the natural world, then people get restless. And that's when purple starts to bump up against its limitations. People have this energy. They need to do something with it. To keep purple under control, leadership pours on more tradition and ritual, stifling those yearning to break free. The need for personal autonomy creates anarchy, renegades and misfits in the well-wrought tribal order. So when I posted some stuff on the piano Facebook groups, okay, the leadership cracked down because they said, you are out of line. You are speaking out of turn. You are blaspheming. And they tried to put a stop to it, and they did. They kicked me out of the groups. Okay. So I was feeling a little bit red. You know, I was feeling like I can't, you know, say, yeah, okay, fine. We got the rituals and everything. And I have a master's degree in piano. You know, I successfully followed a bunch of those rituals. Okay. So it's not like I'm just some weirdo who doesn't, you know, complete outsider. I'm not an outsider. I mean, I am, but I'm not. So, but yeah, once I got to a point where I'm like, okay, I get it. I get the rituals. I get what this is for. Then I'm like, okay, now we got to do something else. Cause this is not like, what are we just going to just keep bowing down to the same idols forever? Like that's old, you know, it's like what? But you got to think about, why is it that they are so attached to that? Why do they care so much? Because for them, purple is really important, because they still feel that threat from the natural world. You know, they're still banding together because they're scared shitless about what's going to happen if they allow the slightest bit of anarchy into their, you know, their whatever you want to call it. So that's the conflict. The natural competition for richer niches ultimately pits purple groupings against each other, rewarding those who assert themselves and take charge. There can be only one bull in the kraal. It makes me think of the movie Revenge of the Nerds, which is from the 80s, and there's the nerds against the jocks, and it's all based on, they got fraternities, you know, they're in college. This is purple against purple. Okay, each one of these groups is they're their own symbolism, their own rituals, their own hierarchies. But once it gets to a point where they're competing for resources, you know, they get into college, they're competing, and I don't know why they're competing. So what are they competing over anyway? Competing over where they're going to live. They're competing over the girls. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the competition is. I don't remember. All of the above, I think. So then you know, at some point it just gets old and you have to go into red. You know, you gotta, as red looms up, there's a growing sense that a powerful individual can actually influence the world. Placating the spirits does not always work. They are unreliable, unpredictable, and sometimes whimsical. You know, the other another thing that makes me think about purple is like the Instagram algorithm, the TikTok algorithm. You know, it's these spirits. It's like, so if you're maybe you're not posting content like I do, but if you do, then and you know that everybody's always trying to figure out, how do you please the algorithm? What do you have to do? What's the incantation? What's the dance that you have to do to get the algorithm to smile upon you? That's purple. Okay. It's this, and where does it come from? It's not because it's fun to play with the algorithm, although it can be sort of, I guess, but the reason is because people are freaking out because, you know, they want attention, they want money, they want, you know, physical safety, et cetera, which is all represented in the favor that the algorithm, you know, the good vibes from the algorithm. That's what you want. And it's because you're scared. You know, you're scared. The world is unpredictable and you want to make sure that you are safe. So there's always that, you know, that rain dance, it's like, what do you do? It's, you know, cryptocurrency. You know, you're seeing this now with AI, all that stuff. People are scared. They're scared of the world. And so you start inventing these things, and you either demonize them or you try to figure out how to placate them so that you are spared. Not in heaven. It's not about heaven. It's about right now. What else is I going to talk about? I feel like this has nothing to do with piano. I don't feel like it has nothing to do with piano. I feel like you are worried that it has nothing to do with piano. And you're saying, Michael, come on, stay on topic. Michael, this is a piano account. Michael, you gotta, come on, Michael, get it together. Come on, Michael, try to stay on track. This is the beginning point for personality cults. And in its healthy form, red/purple is the emergence of the assertive ego and self-confidence in child development. The assertive ego and self-confidence, a profoundly unhealthy version evolved. You got Jim Jones and Charles Manson. Red marks the great upsurge of raw individual power and is the pedestal from which to shout, I exist. Okay, so you're trying to like, you know, you think about like the middle child, you know, who's ignored. Like that's like, they're going to get red, you know? It's like, I exist, you know? It's just this is act of rebellion that's for no other reason other than it's just really boring to go along with what everyone else is doing. So, I mean, I've been doing this for almost an hour, and I've really only really talked about purple. We may have to do more of these for the other colors, you know? Purple, like going into red, it's like, here's some sayings from red here. In a world of haves and have-nots, it's good to be a have. Avoid shame, defend reputation, be respected. That's the other thing, respect. Red is all about respect. I successfully avoided all of this for most of my life. It wasn't until getting on Instagram that I had to face it. I couldn't hide in my ivory tower because people who are down here and yet very numerous, okay, they play these games of respect. They play these games of reputation. Suddenly I found myself thrown into that world again, which I probably had left, you know, back in elementary school. But, you know, you got to learn sometime. Life is a jungle, survival of the fittest. I'm tough and expect those around me to be tough or else. I take charge of people and can win over nature, bending her to my will. Respect and reputation matter more than life itself. So you do what it takes to avoid being shamed or put down. I was thinking about the scene, if you ever watched the Godfather, the opening scene of The Godfather, this guy is the undertaker. He goes to the Godfather and he asks him for a favor. It's the Godfather's daughter's wedding day. Okay, so the tradition is that a Sicilian man cannot refuse a request on his daughter's wedding day. But see, the whole thing is that it's all about respect and reputation. It's all about respect. Because the Godfather says, look, you're asking me for a favor right now. But where were you? Where have you been this whole time? Like, you know, you never invited me over to your house for coffee. Like, I'm not your friend. Like, you've never even done anything for me. And now suddenly, now you need a favor. I was thinking a lot about that today, about that scene. Because I was thinking, like, well, why is it? Why is it that, like what are the forces that are playing on these people? Okay, why is it that the Godfather, like, he must have been nervous, okay? He must have been nervous because he operates this environment where he has to have respect. Okay, it's how he exists, okay? Because his job is to protect his people. Because the police aren't going to do it, so he's the police, okay? We can go into the whole thing. I feel like I need to start wrapping this up because I've been talking for a while. I'm getting kind of tired. And now I'm going off another whole topic here. But I'm going to come back to that. We're going to do that in the next one. I'm going to talk about The Godfather because there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. You know, why is it? Why is it that he, because he must have felt pressure. Pressure. He has to do this favor. But what about the other guy, the undertaker? He felt pressure too. Why did he go on the wedding day? Why is that the day he did it? Because he couldn't be refused. Okay, but what if he had gone a different day? Then what? I got it all worked out in my head. I'll tell you about it next time. Gratify impulses and senses immediately. Fight remorselessly and without guilt to break constraints. Don't worry about consequences that may not come. When I look at all the people that leave comments on my YouTube, there's so much red going on there. You know, it's like, you think about like it's like, why do they leave all these comments? Why do they do that? Because they're trying to rebel. They're trying to say, I exist. Hey, look, I exist. Like, yeah, okay, fine, you exist. Like, what do you want me to do about it? Why am I suddenly the representative of the hierarchy of the tribal order? Like, why am I that? Right? Come on. So now I find myself in these red games with these guys. I don't like it one bit. you know, and everybody's watching, everybody's like, he's like, you hear these expressions, like, if you, you know, it's like, you gotta have self-respect, you gotta, it's like self-respect, it's like, oh, so much of that, like, I don't even know what they mean. See, I have a problem with red, I really do. Okay, we're gonna, next time, we're gonna pick up with red, okay? Consensus to dominance, magic to machismo. Is that how you say it? Okay. We're going to wrap it up here because I've given you a lot to chew on, and I didn't even really, I did play the piano a little bit. Okay. And we talked a little bit about that. We talked about Still Dre. We talked about the ice cream song, the ice cream truck song. So that should be enough for now. Okay. Every song has a lot of purple in it. You know, it's like, you think about you know, it's like, what is this? It's like, this is a purple symbol, you know? Like, because I can play that and you know what I'm playing. You know, you've heard it before. It has connotations. And if I play it wrong, then, you know, what? Then what? What's going to happen? Okay. Thank you all for joining me. We're going to call it a night. It's been a night. It's been a great night. And I will.